Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. It's Tuesday, game day. Pelicans face off against the Golden State Warriors in the Smoothie King Center tonight. Always fun to see that team come to New Orleans, play in person, even though it usually doesn't end well for the Pelicans. A couple years ago it did, which was a pretty nice win. I'm going to have that preview for you guys tonight. And then also just kind of talk about some various things with the team. Not kind of a slow news day with the Pelicans. Not a whole lot going on. They didn't really have a practice. They had an off day. So wanted to talk a little bit about Davis, his demeanor, Buddy Hield kind of growing into his role some, and then offensive struggles. And, you know, one of the reasons why this team isn't playing too well offensively and why they rank so low. So probably not as long of a podcast today. I mean, there's not really a whole lot to talk about, even with the game tonight. You know, it's unlikely the Pelicans are going to win just the way the season's going. Trying to keep it real with you guys here, but it doesn't mean we can't have some fun with it, and you'll still get a preview. It should be fun no matter what to see this team play. So we're going to just kind of jump right into it today. I do want to remind you guys that Locked On Pelicans does come to you 5 days a week. It's on Stitcher, the app. That's what I use personally to listen to all my podcasts. I listen to Locked On NBA. I listen to the Dunked On one with Nate Duncan and Danny LaRue. I listen to the Fantasy Basketball podcast as well, and Locked On Colts because I'm a Colts fan, as well as Locked On Saints, the sister podcast as well. It's on iTunes, Audio Boom. Like it, subscribe it, rate. All that good stuff. That's only a good thing for Locked On Pelicans. It keeps us coming to you guys 5 days a week, you know, pretty much ad-free and with no interruptions. And it's really the only place where you're getting this kind of talk daily. So please be sure to support me, support the podcast, and also give it a follow on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels. So just want to kind of dive into everything here today with some of the things I want to talk about. First is Buddy Hield. You know, he's gotten a couple starts over the past couple games. That OKC game was kind of an awakening for him, playing kind of in a home crowd for him. Over the last nine games, Buddy is 14 for 33 from deep. That's good for 42.9%. That's excellent, especially from a rookie. You know, people were probably too silly to write him off after a handful of games. The Pelicans gave him a chance to earn minutes early on to start, and he struggled. He took his, you know, rookie ups and downs with it. And it's possibly, you know, it was a smart move. A lot of times rookies don't earn that type of playing time. Chris Dunn isn't getting that kind of playing time in Minnesota right now, or he didn't at least before, and he's kind of been frozen out of the rotation in and out like Buddy Hield has. And that's the guy that most people wanted the Pelicans to take if he was available. That was certainly who I would have hoped they would have drafted at six overall. He just went one pick ahead to Minnesota at five. But Buddy's starting to come into his own. The biggest thing with him is, again, his shot's very inconsistent. Sometimes it's too long, he shoots it too hard. Sometimes it's short and he airballs it. He's shot a lot of airballs this year. But I think he just needs to kind of be on a court and just learn and play and work with coaches and practice, which is going to be some big things. There's more to player development than simply minutes on the court. Defensively, he still does look lost at times. You saw it against the Suns too. He wasn't sure whether to guard a guy in a corner at one point or to help underneath, and he got kind of in no man's land. Luckily, it didn't end in a shot from the guy he was supposed to defend, because he actually managed to recover out on the three-point line quick enough. But the struggle is real there, let's be honest. And right now, the Pelicans are trying to win games. And one of the reasons they want to win games is look at Andrew Smith, one of the writers over at Bourbon Street Shots, does a lot of our video and multimedia type things there. He said, take a look at AD's Snapchat after that Phoenix game. Davis didn't play too well. He had, by his standards, had a poor game. You know, under 20 points. Did grab, 12 rebounds? Pretty good there. But not his, you know, league-leading points per game numbers. These otherworldly numbers, Nova numbers that we've seen throughout the season from him. But if you looked at his Snapchat, dude was so happy. He wants to win. His legacy is very, very important to him. And one of the biggest ways you leave a legacy is by winning. And the Pelicans need to do that if they want to appease him. He's not going to stay in New Orleans if he's on a losing team. Winning is so important to him. So right now, yeah, maybe they don't play Buddy Hield as much because he hurts them defensively, even if, you know, fans and other media people, let's call them, want the team to play him for developmental reasons. You got to pick what your highest priority here is with this Pelicans team. And at least to me personally, it's making sure Anthony Davis is happy and that he wants to stay here for the foreseeable future. Not the foreseeable future, the long future. This is a long game here. You know, again, he can bolt in the future. And right now I'd say it's likely he will if things don't get better. And just even winning a game against Phoenix when, say, hey, maybe they should have played Cheick Diallo more. Look, that win was way more important, and Diallo and Hield probably aren't contributing to the win total right now as much as someone like Langston Galloway, like Terrence Jones, like Omer Asik, Alexi Ajinsa, though you could argue all of that. But those guys, just they're trusted vets, and there's a reason you want them in the game late in situations while you want them on the court more than a rookie like Buddy Hield. And it's this needing to win and wanting to win, which has caused problems for the team, you know, pretty much since Benson took over. And I know a lot of people talk about the win now mandate that he supposedly passed down to Demps and then Monty Williams at the time that he you know, had purchased the franchise. And it's caused the problem. That's why they went into a different type of rebuilding mode than they would have done otherwise, and maybe not built through the draft, and they needed to force, you know, the timeline to accelerate quicker. And I've talked about it on this podcast that Anthony Davis has done that as well, like caused that himself, by, you know, just being a player that they expected to contribute to the wins total faster than other rookies would. But, you know, this wanting to win, again, this team doesn't get the most support at times. I know there's diehard fans like you who are listening to me talk today and who listen hopefully every day because, you know, listens are a good thing for the podcast. Just throwing that out there. But, you know, when in obviously being a winning team generates more interest in the franchise than a losing team does. So fans get frustrated that they didn't build through the draft or they, you know, spent money on free agents that didn't turn out to, that didn't work out. The issue is, yeah, they're trying to win because they want all you guys going to games. It was really funny. I tweeted out a picture of the Sixers game. It was a cold night in New Orleans. It was about 10 minutes before tip-off. There may be like 3,000 people in the entire Smoothie King Center. And that got so many retweets and traction on Twitter by people just saying they were so disappointed. I looked at a lot of the retweets and people who commented on it. A lot of those people live in New Orleans and weren't even at the game. So they're talking about how this is a bad showing, yet they're not going to the games themselves. Because this franchise isn't good. Because they're not winning games, because they're disappointing. And so I'm like hitting my table here. And so they're not winning games and they're disappointing. So people don't go. So it forces this team to then try and make another move that might be short-sighted and, you know, potentially compromise Anthony Davis' future to go out and try and win now. And that's giving big money contract to a guy like Solomon Hill. Given a decent-sized contract to Etuan Moore. These guys that they hoped could take the leap, and if these guys do take a leap, these contracts pay off and don't look like gambles or the gamble was won, and they just haven't. And that's the problem here. It's this kind of big circular thing that's tough to dig themselves out of. So the reason this team doesn't have people going to the games is because largely they're putrid. I think that's the safe word to say, on offense. And so let's just kind of highlight this right now. Pelicans are 29th in three-point percentage, shooting 32.4% total from deep. Not good. Second to last in the league. The leader is, of course, actually Cleveland, not, of course, Golden State. Leader is Cleveland at 40.1%. This team's also just poor in field goal percentage overall. They are ninth worst. They're ranked 23 out of 30. So not good there either. The other issue is they take a lot of shots because they play with such a fast pace that they're eighth in shots attempted. So you can see where I'm going with this. It's not a good shooting team. That's the biggest problem here. They have guys who get hot on occasion, like Langston Galloway, and we've seen that. But if you look at their shot chart as a whole, which I want to kind of walk through a little bit, it's not very good. If you go to NBA.com stats, that's where I'm using this from. I'm looking at the hex map here for their just overall season. Basically, anywhere on the left side from three-point, they're below league average. The right side of the three-point line, including the right corner, they're about average or so, right around there. Pretty much just league average. They're league average at the rim because Anthony Davis is the only big that can really score there consistently. You don't see Ajinsa scoring at the rim consistently. Oshik, even Terrence Jones at times is more of a jump shooter for this team than anyone else. The guards can kind of get there. You've seen Frazier do it. Holiday can do it. Etuan Moore, though, doesn't get to the rim. Langston Galloway doesn't get to the rim. Solomon Hill does on occasion. He tends to do it once or twice at the beginning of a game and then doesn't, and then tries to shoot threes and doesn't make them. Overall, though, so it's leading this team to take a lot of bad mid-range shots. So if you then break down it into the shot zone, you can probably do this and follow along with me. Man, they're bad from the left side from three. It's all in red. That's not good. You want them in green. There's three green areas. Two of those green areas are on the right side inside the three-point line by the corner. You don't want to be taking a lot of shots in that dumb zone outside of the restrict, you know, in the 2-point spot outside of the restricted area. You can go to the basic zone on this and see it. And it's, they take a good 25.8% of their shots in this area. It's not what you want. What you can break down a little bit further again with the advanced one and see those spots on the left and right block are good. Anthony Davis and Terrence Jones are good from there. Ajinsa's got a little bit of range with a hook. Cheick Diallo was scoring from there. But it's really kind of the ring right inside the three-point line. And they take a significant number of their shots from there. They're taking more shots from some of those places than they take from the short corners from three. It's not good offense. And a lot of these players just aren't good three-point shooters. So, you know, their three-point shot's not falling. They're not going – they don't want to take more three-pointers. They want to step inside the line and get closer to take an easier shot when they can know when they know they can make. That's been what's the problem here. If these guys were more consistent three-point shooters or they were just good in general, yeah, this offense would be very different. You'd see a better shot distribution on this team. But because they're not, it's forcing them to kind of evolve their game in a negative way. I guess maybe devolving is the way to put it. And they're not taking good shots like you want this team taking. Solomon Hill, you know, doesn't want to be taking threes. You can see it. He's kind of scared to do it. Terrence Jones doesn't even want to be taking threes at times, and he can make them. You'd see them rather take a couple of steps in to at least be closer to the rim where they feel they have a better chance of shooting and making it. A lot of it's kind of in their head and it's mental, and it's one of the reasons this team is losing. That's some on coaching. You need to coach these guys out of this habit. Gentry's shown he can do this. Think about Dante Cunningham two seasons ago. He was shooting a lot of long mid-range twos. And then Gentry took over the team, and he started hitting threes. And this year he's one of the better Pelicans from shooting from three. The problem is he's just out right now. He's shooting 41%. He's got the highest percentage of guys really who played significant time on this team. Langston Galloway's second on that at 38.3, but we see that sometimes he goes 4 of 7 like he did the other night, and other nights he goes 1 for 5. And that's why his average comes down to this. But again, it's there's a lot of peaks and valleys, and his average is that line that goes right through the middle of it. That's not what you want. You want those peaks and valleys to be less and that line to be pretty much a shot, which of course is never going to be the case with, you know, an NBA player, but at least you don't want the peak so high and the valley so low, which is what he's giving you right now. And it's a problem, and hopefully, you know, this team can kind of figure it out as the season goes on. I've said this was a bit of a weird transition rebuilding year. It's kind of setting the foundation. They went a bit back to basics. You heard them talk about defense this offseason. They signed guys like Solomon Hill who are defensive guys. Etuan Moore, who's pretty good defensively. Langston Galloway, who can play defense as well in the right situation. They had Holiday there. Anthony Davis. You've heard the other buzzword of blue collar. They want to work hard. And they're trying to set the stage for the future. This year wasn't necessarily about making playoffs. I'm sure ownership wanted it. I'm sure fans wanted it. The players want to win. But I think the biggest thing that we call this year a success was you want to see their defensive rating get into league average or so. And they're actually doing that at times. You know, we're starting to get a large enough sample size where we can say, yeah, you know, their defense is average. Sometimes they have good nights. Sometimes they have bad nights. And it puts them right in the middle. They're not just having bad nights. like they had last season and kind of the year before. Offensively, this is where they've regressed, and part of that's due to Davis, and I'm going to do some research on this over the next couple of days. The question is the ball movement better when he's out on the bench or not playing in the game? Are they too reliant on him? And kind of the eye test says, yeah. But it's going to be interesting to see, and I'm not sure about that just yet. I don't want to jump to that because there's a lot of factors involved in it. So it'll be interesting to see what this offense does. Can they, you know, eventually give themselves a good foundation for next season under Gentry or a potentially different head coach? Or do you look at this team and be like, that didn't work at all? Or do you hope for some incremental improvement this year, followed by maybe some more incremental improvement in the next year? That's the real question, whether they can do that or not. And right now, I think the jury's still out on that. All right, so the Golden State Warriors game tonight in the Smoothie King Center, 7 o'clock. Always fun when they come to town. They're such a fun team to watch. So, look, the Pelicans don't have a realistic shot of winning this game. They've played Golden State hard before at times, especially the first home game, which I think was towards right around Halloween to start the year. They kept it pretty close. They were in the game until the fourth quarter. One of the big things they need is they're going to need some good production from the point guard spot, and they're going to need it on the defensive side as well as offensive. That's going to be Tim Frazier, triple-double Tim Frazier, Michael Jordan Tim Frazier, as Anthony Davis was calling him the other night after the triple-double. They're going to need it from Jrue Holiday. Those two guys can kind of hold down that backcourt at times. Frazier at one point was out-dueling Curry for the first game against Golden State in the Smoothie King Center, so that was really nice to see. So they definitely have a chance to kind of shut him down maybe there and win that battle. The problem is, what do you do everywhere else? Pelicans can't go big in this game. We just know that. Not when you have Durant and Draymond Green out there playing center and power forward. You put Oshik out there, they're going to absolutely destroy him. They'll be able to get around him, score at will, or he's just going to foul out of the game so quickly. Same thing with Ajinsa. There's just no matchup there that works. So you're forced to go Anthony Davis and Terrence Jones. You'll see them both at the court, on the court together at times. But overall, here's the one way they need to win this game, and that's they need to punish the Warriors in transition and punish them when the Warriors turn the ball over. You've seen it, and Matt Moore of Hardwood Paroxysm and CBS pointed this out the other day. If you get them on their turnovers and score in transition, you can get in their heads a little bit. And then they get in their heads a little bit and start to hopefully fall apart. And then you keep the game close and hopefully maybe win it in a tight one at the end. You're certainly not going to blow this team out. That's going to be virtually impossible for this Pelicans team. One way the Pelicans might also be able to stay in it is if they go with that closing lineup to the Suns game where they went with Tim Frazier, Langston Galloway, Etuan Moore, Jrue Holiday, and Anthony Davis. I said that lineup managed to rebound pretty well, though I don't know if they'll be able to do the exact same against Golden State. But there's a chance. It's worth trying. That's a small lineup that has some speed in it. Frazier, Holiday, Galloway have a bit of athleticism to them all, Etuan Moore less so. Frazier and Holiday can get to the rim. You got enough guys. All of them can shoot threes and make them, along with Anthony Davis. So that lineup might be able to work and cause some damage here. And I wouldn't be shocked if they, you know, kind of ran that out against the Suns to try and test it out for tonight. So we'll see if the Pelicans, you know, throw that out there and if it's effective. If it's not effective, I don't know if you'll see that lineup a whole lot going forward other than injury reasons. So that's going to be it for Locked On Pelicans. Tomorrow we'll have the recap for you. I'm hoping to have some stats that talk about the offense and how bad it's been and which guys are good, which guys aren't. That's from David Locke, the head of the Locked On Podcast Network, host of Locked On Jazz and Locked On NBA. He's got a stat that he uses to measure basically a kind of above replacement guy, points above average. So it'll be interesting to see where the Pelicans fall on that. I asked him if he could send some over, so I know it takes him a little while to put it together. We'll see if we can get some of that for you guys, because it'll be fun to talk about. So thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. The podcast is at Locked On Pels. Please, we are on iTunes, Audio Boom, any podcast app. Make sure you're subscribing, you're listening daily, you're sharing it with your friends, getting more people. Trust me, we want to get more listeners on this thing to keep all of this going, to make sure we can do this 5 days a week. I'm having a wonderful time doing it. I know a lot of people have given me some great feedback. I'm going to have some intro music for you guys coming up. That's going to be fun. Hopefully I can debut that by the end of the week. It takes a little bit to get it all right. So that's been wonderful. So thank you all for listening, and I'll be back with you guys tomorrow.
Napa Know How.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.